shower prayer.
Our gracious eternal Father, we bless you this morning once again. We're grateful to you for the privilege to come to your house. Your goodness and your mercy to us that saw us through this past week that was concluded just a few hours ago. Thank you. Many people saw the beginning of this week, but not all saw the end of it. Lord Jesus, not even everyone that saw Saturday is alive today. We thank you for your intervention in our lives, in our situations, for providing our needs, Lord, for answering our prayers, for giving us a revelation of your word, for making a way for us and fighting our battles. We are grateful for being our God on this earth and throughout eternity. What will it have been if you are not our help? Lord Jesus, this world is full of mysteries and woes, but we are grateful unto you, as Prabhupada said, that if only on this earth we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. We thank you because you have given us a lively hope for hereafter. And that is what your servant, the messenger of the age, by the grace and your calling of yours upon his life and the fulfillment of all your promises for this end time, has brought to us under the Holy Spirit, making us to know the plan of salvation and law and the place that you have prepared for us to live with you as members of the bride in eternity. Lord, nothing worth living for than this. If the revelation of it strikes our hearts, we will drop all peanuts, every distraction, everything that occupies our time that does not allow us to surrender ourselves to you. Lord, we will forgo. Lord Jesus, just help us as we have come to your house today to surrender ourselves completely to you, that you might walk upon us to bring us to that stature of a perfect man by the cleansing of the blood and by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Send your inspiration upon the sick. Lord, they might gather faith to receive the healing which you have purchased on the cross through your suffering. Thank you, Father, for this purpose you manifested to destroy the works of the devil and which sickness is part. Thank you, Father. We are grateful. We look unto you that you inspire your servants today and anoint each of us as we sit to hear your word. The law of faith will be mixed with it in our hearts, for that is the only way and the only way and the only way that it can be a blessing unto us. Grant it, everlasting Father. Lord, send your spirit down upon your people, yearning and crying for Holy Ghost baptism. As your word goes forth as it was in the house of Cornelius, let there be a repeat of that today. Lift the saints to higher ground. Lord, supply all our needs. Cause us to strike, Lord, a breakthrough today. Lord, to get all that we deserve from you. Thank you, everlasting Father. Forgive our sins. Let nothing stand between us and you as we all surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus Christ's holy name. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. As we read in the first instance, and then Revelation chapter 21. So as usual, when we read to a point in 2 Peter, you can sit down. 2 Peter chapter 3. When I get to verse 10. When we read up to verse 10, you can sit down. All right. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us what, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are done shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and listening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are, that our land are on unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, even unto their own destruction. Yet ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him glory, both now and forever. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. I read from verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The Lord bless the reading, the hearing of his word to our hearts. We are so grateful to the Almighty God for the promise of eternal life and the fulfillment of the same. It's a great thing to be part of the program of God, you know, for the end time. So, as we continue with the topic that we have started for the Sunday school, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride.
Last Sunday, we tried to emphasize the importance of genuine repentance, which must be followed by water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the purpose of remission of sins. And the prophet said, the sin that is remitted has nothing to do with the future sin. It is the sin of the past. And that makes a difference. Well, let me not jump ahead as we continue. And we also reminded that the sin of Adam, you cannot repent of it because the blood of Jesus Christ has taken care of it. It is your sin that you have committed that you can repent of, because you didn't do, it's not you that did what Adam did, but you are represented in him. And being represented in Adam, we became sinners, born in sinnership and iniquity, and we came to the world speaking lies. And so, because of that, the blood Jesus Christ came to make proposition for that, and for your sins that you will also come in. So, from the age of accountability, it is reckoned unto you what you do yourself, it is written against you. But up to that, before, from your birthday to that time, to the age of 12, there is nothing written against you by God. The sin that you inherited from Adam has been atoned for by the blood of Jesus, and the prophet further clarified that by telling us that that is why any child that is born by whoever parents, it could be an adult, it could be an armed robber, that child is innocent coming to the world. And if that child should die before the age of 12, the prophet said that child returns back to God, because the blood of Jesus atones for the sin that that child inherited by birth, which is Adamic sin, which the child inherited being born according to the scripture, conceiving iniquity, born into the world speaking lies, shaped in iniquity, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come into the world speaking lies. A little baby that lies is not reckoned against them until age 12, we are told by the prophet. But should we correct them? Yes. Train your child in the way you go. That's what the scripture says. They must be trained. They must not be left undisciplined when they do things that are wrong. Praise be to God. And the prophet said, even if they depart from it, he said, what has been inculcated into them will not depart from them. And so this morning, by the grace of God, we want to further on that. We want to look at the what characterizes the life of a person that is justified, the first stage. We want to look at what characterizes the life of a man that is at the sanctification stage. And then, if the time permits us, we also look at the characteristics of a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you. This, so because the prophet taught us that the same process that God, that the Lord took to redeem us through the three stages of after repentance, then you go for water baptism, then you are justified. That's the first stage, justification. And then the second is sanctification. And the third is Holy Ghost baptism. And the prophet said the same process that God is that God has taken you, his own elect, through. He said the same stages that is taking this very heart, where we and he will live together eternally. The prophet said, if this heart is not taken through that process, he said that God cannot come there to come and dwell there eternally. Is that because of corruption and perversion of the devil that is taking place here? Praise be to God. Let us look at paragraph 102 as we move forward of future. 102. Notice, he did the word where that bride is going to live in the same way, in the same plan of salvation. Praise be to God. So, on this basis, we move on to these stages that we are talking about. From the Future Home paragraph 96, we want to look at what characterizes the life of a man, a person, that is at the justification stage. Praise be to God. The prophet now tells us here, the prophet said, now when a baby is born into the kingdom of God, it comes the way, the same way, water, blood, spirit. Now notice, sanctification, okay? Okay, let's move on to paragraph 96. 96, the future of home. Paragraph 96. All right, the prophet says, a man can repent of sins and is still thinking of where maybe he is an immoral man. Remember, a man can repent. So this is a person that is moving towards the stage of sanctification. A man can repent of sins and is still thinking, well, maybe he is an immoral man. Every immoral looking woman he finds is still there. That's lost. He's still lost. Maybe he's a drunkard. And every time he smells the drink, he's still there. The desire to drink. You know? But then when he gets sanctified, that cleanses that desire out of him. So, let that. We are not going to that place yet. We want to concentrate. Let's look at this paragraph 101. Why are people tossed about? So we will begin to dwell more on this from here. That will be fast, because this time is not smiling on us. Want us to get us out of here as quick as possible. Paragraph 101. I have met people who will stand in the church and just rejoice and see them go outside the church and maybe Monday or Tuesday, one, just living unbecoming to a Christian. And the man or woman, whoever it may be, will turn again and shake your hand and say, I don't want to do those things. You feel sorry for them. That's the man in justification. He hasn't got the victory. Hearing, recognizing, acting on the word of God, 1960, February 21. Just 60, February, 60-02-21, paragraph 107. Let me give you an illustration here. Illustration, here it is. Paragraph 107. Here it is. Here is a man. He's a good fellow, nice boy. He's called. He feels in his heart he wants to be a minister. All right. He accepts Jesus as personal savior. He's a nice boy. Nobody can say nothing against him. After a while, the subject of sanctification. The man lost when he looks at women. That's still, I want to follow that. He lost when he looks at a woman. You know, some women too lost. It's a spirit. It's not only associated with men. So that's why, you know. I mean, it's a spirit anyhow. It comes upon any human being where they can dwell. So some women lost after men. You have seen it. We have seen it. That they, just like Potiphar's wife. Is it possible? That Egyptian soldier's wife was lost in after Joseph. That's a proof of it. And then what's the name of two David's son, David's son and his daughter? Tamar was raped by Haman. Amon, yes. Amon was lost until he became sick. He could not control himself. And this wicked counselor just advised him, ungodly counsel, just advised him contrary to the principle of life. You know? We are establishing to you that lust works upon both sexes,
man and woman. So that you don't pin it down to it's only a boy or a man that lost. That woman was even a married woman, for that matter. You see? The man lost when he looks at women. It is in him. But that's the Adamic nature. You see? And then, next thing, maybe he smoked. And he wants to smoke. That desire is there. Maybe he wants to gamble. Maybe he wants to do some bad things. He knows he oughtn't to do that. So he says, "Oh God, apply the blood of Jesus to me and sanctify me." That we are talking about a man at the stage of justification. From the sermon, still continuation of hearing and recognizing paragraph 114. Let's look at this also. Now, watch this young preacher. He comes to a place. He says, "Lord, I have been looking upon women. I ought not to do that. I've been, kind of doing things of the world, doing the things of the world. I shouldn't do that. I've been spending my money on horse races. I shouldn't do that. I've been going every night to picture shows. I shouldn't do that. I enjoy even vulgarity pictures and things like that. I got pin-ups in my room. I shouldn't do that. Those are the things of the world. Sanctify me, Lord." Now, from the sermon, the ten virgins. Let's read from this. The ten virgins. I'm reading paragraph 326 to 327. Now, what is that? Here is the believer today. Now, watch this guy right here. God gives him a call. All right. Now, he gets saved. His mother washes over a board and sends him away to some college to get the education how to preach. Well, he gets out there, he still thinks. See, this tells you that you can feel a call of God before you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Feel a call of God without the Holy Spirit, but you must tarry until you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's why the prophet says that a man must never stand behind the sacred desk until he has met God at the bedding ground of his heart, like Moses met God at the backside of the desert. Because he cannot defend the gospel by his life, not by word of mouth. He might be an orator. He might be so eloquent, he might be able to preach. What about Acts chapter 19? If you go back, can we look at that a little bit? We're still in course, on course. Let's go there. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Are you there? If you are there before me. All right. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. The prophet told us about this guy was preaching the gospel. All right, let's move on. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John the Baptist." Unto John Baptist, unto John's Baptist. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." And when they had this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men that were there were about 12. Now, the prophet went further to tell us something about this man. That this man only knew about the preaching of John. He was baptized by John. He was preaching Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, but he had never partaken of the blessing. He was not filled with the Holy Spirit. The prophet told us that they were worshiping. They were in the service. When they were in the service,
Paul got into the Arabian and found that there was no touch of the Holy Ghost there. That the Holy Ghost was not in their midst in the service. That's why he asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since he believed? The prophet said, that was why he asked them. Paul being the messenger of the age, he knew the presence of the Holy Spirit in an assembly. And so also every born-again Christian. Because it's the Spirit of God in you, it will fellowship. Where that you will remember most times when the prophet will be on the prayer line, and a brother or a sister that was a genuine Christian will stand before him. The prophet will tell the sister or the brother, say, your spirit is welcome. He said, you are a Christian. It's a welcoming spirit. It's not a spirit that resists. Praise be to God. What I'm establishing is that a man can preach the gospel without being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what the prophet is also saying there. The man has a call. And he will want to go and, get education to become a preacher. Because that was the standard then. And up to today, it's the standard in the world, not in the bride. Praise be to God. We don't go to school of seminary. Even when we go to have our degrees in the university, has nothing to do with our calling. Has nothing to do with it. Has no single influence on it. If the person is a Christian. Praise be to God. Because it's a gift. It's a gift of God that operates. It's not anything outside can influence. We might be able to speak better in English than somebody that didn't go to university. That would be the difference. But as for the gift operating, as long as it's a genuine gift, it operates in a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost, in a man that is educated, the same way it will operate in the man that is not educated. Because it's God's gift.
Praise be to God. The difference will be ability to express it better.
But God, who knows this man is not educated, knows the way to pass the measure. Look at Abraham.
Hallelujah. We are grateful to God.
All right. Paragraph 326. And now is that? What is that? Here is the believer today. Now, watch this guy right here. God gives him a call. All right. Now he gets saved. His mother washes over a bird and sends him away to some college to get his education how to preach. When he gets out there, he still thinks. Every time he sees women that is immorally dressed, tears him up.
You see, he couldn't control himself. He's disturbed. He lost. That's a short word for that.
Tears him up. Every time he smells cigarette, he just can't keep from smoking one. He knows that's wrong. He doesn't want to do that.
So he said, Lord, sanctify me. Take that stuff away from me. God said, all right, I will do that for you, son. Take it all away from you. Praise be to God.
These are a few things that we... So many other quotes of the prophet. The prophet used the tabernacle division, the division of the temple, of the tabernacle. As an example of that, can you project that for us?
Well, we'll just say a few things about that.
You will know there are three courts. There are three sections in that temple.
All right.
This that you are looking at, you can see that it's fenced around, not with blocks, because this is a mobile tent. They have to collapse it and move as they were traveling in the wilderness to the promised land.
It's made with hides of animal. So they will fold it and go.
I mean the fence, right? So they tack it on the ground, like most of the tents that we have today. So now, that outside that you see people, that's the outer court. That place is called the outer court. Now, the tabernacle you see has two partitions, and you can't see them. The first part, right inside, is partitioned into two, according to the scripture. So it is the priest that goes in there. Now, the first partition inside of that tabernacle is called the holy place. This is the outer court. Then the holy place, where that fire is up. That portion there is the most holy place. The Shekinah glory. Don't close your eyes yet. We have not asked us to pray. It's not time to pray yet. So we are still to look. Look at this up here. That's the word we are referring to. Praise be to God. So, the first part of it is holy place. The second part is the most holy place. The outer part stands for the part of a man that is in justification stage. It depends on the light of the sun. If the cloud is cloudy, if it's gloomy, that determines his attitude or her attitude, her condition. It can be rainy, it can be sunny. She feels fine today, tomorrow it's not good. That's what they're saying. So this man is not eating the manna into the permanent place. He hears the word of God, just like we have read here. He goes out and still does wrong things. Because right inside of him, the desire is still there. That's what we read in the future of him here. That desire is still in him. Let me read it again. Paragraph 96. A man can repent of sin and he still thinks he may be immoral man. Every immoral looking woman he finds is still there. Maybe a drunkard. Every time he smells the drink, he's still there. See? But when he gets sanctified, that cleanses that desire out of him. So the desire to do that which is evil is still in him. Praise be to God. So that desire is him. Is in him to do it. So there is no way he could help himself until something better happens to him. Alright? Now we move to the second stage. Okay. To go further, the prophet tells us there in the paragraph 89 of this same man, where we don't mind, if this is all we can touch today, there's no need of rushing to move to the second stage. Let us just do justice to this now. That's the way I hear. Paragraph 89. Let me take this board just a minute. Abraham draws illustration of the poor. Now, here is the human heart. The prophet says it's not a heart. Here is a human heart, and here is a human heart. Two. Can you give us the pictures of the two?
You can see the board.
I am just using three pictures here. The prophet used two pictures. I'm using this other one for a purpose to make a difference between the three. The prophet told us that this man. Let me just read here. This one here, the prophet said, human hearts. Now this one here has a snake in it. That's sin. This snake sin. That is sin. And here he has his life. Now he has his life.
Inside of there. That's sin. That's a snake. Now this is Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. And the rest of the scripture that corroborates Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21.
Works of the flesh. This man. It is the Adamic nature in him that causes the problem that he has. You see? He has a snake in it, and here is his life. He has his life. And that is why the guy that we talk about couldn't stop lusting. He sees people smoking, he's layered because the desire is there. He sees people drinking, smelling of it, he almost dies. I must get this thing. When that man that is smoking, when the craving comes upon him, he can't sleep. When a man that lost, that is left after a woman, or a woman that lost her flesh after man, when that craving comes, that's why people visit Ashewo's prostitutes' homes. Men. That's why they go there. Yeah, they have wives at home.
Sometimes. It's the nature
that is in them. And that's why people masturbate as well. When they can't control themselves. When that desire comes upon them, they masturbate. They are here. Because they are inducing themselves. They are there. Because it's the desire in them that they want to satisfy. And in order to satisfy that, they go ahead and do it. They induce themselves to do that. It's a desire that they want to satisfy and they cannot help it. Women also do it. Men, women masturbate, men masturbate. It's a horrible thing. It's the devil that gave them the knowledge. He was the teacher of sex education in the beginning. He's still the teacher of sex education up to today. And so he tells them evil things that they shouldn't know. Remember in the beginning, God did not tell Adam and Eve anything about sex. It was Satan that came and educated Eve about sex.
Are we together?
That is the truth. And the type of information that comes to you matter. The type of information you hear and what is in you to process it.
So if you cannot hear anything, so that is why most of
when they send a certain video, they will say, viewers discretion is requested. In other words, if you cannot withstand the outcome of what they are going to look at, don't look at it.
Press be to go.
So this man is here. He has all the Adamic nature there. He's not sanctified yet. He carries out everything. He has desire to do what is wrong.
And he goes outside and carries it out. And he comes back to the church and feels very horrible when he hears the gospel. May the Lord be our help. By God's grace, God's prayer and our life will continue next week. Let's bow down our heads.
Blessed Lord, we thank you again this morning for another opportunity to gather in your house for the first day of the week. We thank you for the week that ended yesterday. Your goodness unto us throughout the week, a going out and coming in, your protection, provisions, deliverances, all that you did for us. We appreciate you, Father. Lord, we have come again for this week. You that did all that for us last week, we are putting our confidence and trust in you again this week. And you will do the same or much more for us this week. Thank you for your word that has come unto us. We pray, O God, that you give us revelation of the same, that we might be what you want us to be. Grant it, Heavenly Father. Once again, we want to ask that this word that we have heard may not pass a word here come out from the other. Like David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. May your word find its resting place in our heart, Lord. Replenish your servant that you have used. We look unto you for the rest of the meetings of the day, that you will further bless us, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.